Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalai, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said I, beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather them from thence, and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in thy sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine, and gave it unto the king. Now I had not before time been sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live for ever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favour in thy sight, that thou would send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sambalat and Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceeding that was come to a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night, by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, and neither has I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. May the Lord bless his word unto us. Amen. Amen. Nehemiah is one of those great characters of the Old Testament. A character that I'm sure that we all know how he masterminded the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And he's a man that we can all study. And we're going to look at Nehemiah, his character. And we can all learn something from looking at Nehemiah's life. And in doing so, I was challenged as to how we live as a Christian in these days. And so I pray and trust that you too will benefit from this study. So we know the Jews had been carried into captivity because of their disobedience, their rebellion to the Lord's prophets, not listening to the prophets, not taking any heed to the word of God. They were taken into captivity, and the Babylonians had now been overthrown by the Medes and the Persians, and the Jews were beginning to return to Jerusalem. Indeed, there were some that had never left. But Nehemiah, as we understand, had never been to Jerusalem. And the books of Ezra and Nehemiah both deal with the return of the Jews from exile. And it's Nehemiah that gives his own account of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. As we've just read, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalai. It's a bit of an autobiography of this part of Nehemiah's life. Nehemiah means whom God hath comforted. And as we look at Nehemiah, we can see that he's a model worker for God. And therefore, as servants, we of the living God, we too should take note of how Nehemiah conducted himself. Learn from his examples of his life. Again, not an easy life, a difficult life when he was in Jerusalem. But he was in that privileged position at first, being the king's cupbearer in the court of the king. Someone has said that prayer, pains, and perseverance are the conditions of a successful work for God. And that applies to Nehemiah. He knew all this. And if you read the book of Nehemiah, one thing that you will notice is that Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And so for this study of Nehemiah's character, of his life, I've got 10 headings. They're going to be brief because they could all be a sermon in themselves. Each could all be a sermon. As I said, Nehemiah's life, one of the characteristics was that he was a man of prayer. And so I have 10 headings with P. Nehemiah was a man with a personal relationship. He was a man of priorities, a man of prayer, a man of purity, a man of perception or providence, a man of perseverance, a man of practicalities, a man of pats on the back. What I mean by that, as you'll see later, is a man that encourages. A man of privilege, he was that cupbearer in the king's court, but also a man of persecution. And so most of these descriptions can apply to us in one way or another, or we may come across them in our lives as Christians, as trying to follow our Lord. And I trust at the end that we'll be able to apply the lessons to ourselves. The order that I give them is not significant, or I haven't tried to put them in any order, with the exception of that first one. A man of personal relationship. That is the relationship with the Lord. Nehemiah knew his God. Nehemiah had that personal relationship with his Lord. And that is applicable to everyone. If we're going to be a Christian, we have to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be like the psalmist that can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Or as we've read in the Psalms, "God is my refuge." Everyone that knows the Lord, that knows and trusts the Lord, knows him personally. And indeed, it is the Lord that calls us. He calls us by name. As we read in verse 5 of chapter 1, "And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." As you read through the prayers of Nehemiah, you see that he's a man that knows his God. He knows that he's the God of heaven, that indeed he is a great and terrible God, that he does keep his covenant. What the Lord says, he does. He is merciful to them that love him and keep his commandments. And Nehemiah, as I said, he's a man that knows his God. And that is shown by the way he prays. But we've also read that this work that he involved with is according to the good hand of my God. Again, that personal implication that he knew his God. And Christian workers are people that have that personal relationship with the living God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, that have been called by name to the Lord's service. And so no personal relationship, there will be no work for the Lord. There are many so-called Christian organisations that have the name Christian in the title, but they don't know the Lord God. And I'm sure you know various charities that send things round, and when you look at what they state, there's no reference to the Lord, no reference to any scriptures. They might be doing a good work, but they're not doing the Lord's work. Nehemiah was that man that was following the call, that call to serve the Lord. As I said, it's the first requirement of every Christian worker to be called by the Lord. Nehemiah, with this rebuilding of the walls, it wasn't his ambition, it wasn't his personal ambition. It was the Lord's work, and the Lord had called him to it. In chapter 2 and verse 12 we read, "And I arose the night, I and some few men with me, neither told any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither with any beast, save the beast that I rode upon. Neither I told any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." It was the Lord that had stirred up Nehemiah to seek to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, to rehang the gates of Jerusalem. It wasn't a personal whim of Nehemiah. He was called by the Lord. It was the Lord's task for Nehemiah. Nehemiah was not pursuing his own personal agenda. He was pursuing that call of the Lord to this specific task. We have all been called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, we seek to follow him and to obey his word and do as he has commanded. And Nehemiah knew his God before he started to rebuild the walls. And we read in verse 4 of the first chapter, "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted before the prayer, before the God of heaven." Nehemiah heard that report that Hananiah brought back about the Jews in Jerusalem and the walls at Jerusalem and everything broken down. And he found that it was a reproach because the Lord was not magnified by this situation. And Nehemiah was concerned and he prayed and the Lord called him. And Nehemiah knew the state of Jerusalem, the state of the Jews, and he was concerned. And so before doing any work, he prayed unto the Lord. And so Nehemiah, called by the Lord, concerned for the Lord's glory, for the Lord's name, he prayed before he started work. I heard these words. He heard that report and he sat down, wept, mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He prayed to the God of heaven because he knew the God of heaven. He knew that he was the Lord God over and above all things. He knew that the broken walls at Jerusalem were a reproach unto him. He knew that those Jews of old had sinned and disobeyed the Lord. And so he was concerned. And before doing anything, before embarking on this task, he prays unto his Lord. And Nehemiah, a man of priorities, and his priority was to do what the Lord had put in his heart. It was the restoration of Jerusalem. It was to rebuild the holy city, the city of God. Nehemiah's concern, his priority in his life, was to see his Lord honoured and glorified. His concern was to fulfil God's calling, to do the Lord's will. So we read in chapter 2 and verse 12, what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. His priority in his life was obedience to the will of God. It meant, as we see, leaving all those privileges of being the cupbearers and returning to Jerusalem for that hard work, for that laborious work, for that time of being challenged and persecuted. And that's what makes a man that has been called by the Lord. He sorts out his priorities, and the number one priority is to do the will of God, to follow the Lord, to obey his commandments. Whatever else comes into life is of secondary importance. The primary importance was to do the Lord's will. And so it is with us that we need to sort out our priorities. Is our priority to follow the Lord, or do we let work or family or hobbies, whatever it is, intrude upon the Lord's work? Or are we disobedient to God's word disobedient to God's word so we can follow our hobbies or our activities or whatever? No, being obedient to the word of God, whatever the cost, that is the most important priority. And Nehemiah's works was important. You can read in Nehemiah 6 and verse 3 that reply that he gave to Sanballat and Tobiah, those people that were criticizing, were scoffing the work that Nehemiah was about. And he says, "I sent messages unto them saying, I'm doing a great work." He's doing the Lord's work, and that's a great work. He couldn't come down to speak to them. "Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?" That was the priority that Nehemiah had for the Lord's work. He wasn't just doing ordinary work. He was doing a great work because it's a work for the Lord. And no matter how humble in the world's eyes the work that we might be doing for the Lord, it is a great work. The world might look upon us and despise us, but if it's for the Lord, it's a great work. And we're not to come down for any other reason, to do any other work. We're to continue in that great work that the King of Kings has given us to do. So I said, another way that we see Nehemiah being a man of priorities was that he prayed. We've seen he was a man of prayer. He was obviously a busy man. He was going about the walls, but he made time to pray. And prayer is that foundation of Christian work. Nehemiah, again, busy with all his court duties, but again, he found time or made time to pray. How often do we say we don't have time to pray? How often have you said we need more hours in the day? But stop. It's the Lord that has made the days that look with 24 hours in, and we all live by the same time. If we need more than 24 hours in a day, we're doing too much, and our priorities are therefore probably wrong. And as I said, Nehemiah made prayer a priority because he knew the importance of prayer. Nehemiah spent his time in prayer, yet he didn't neglect his lawful duty. He was still the king's cupbearer. And if he'd said he's too busy praying to be the king's cupbearer, he would not have had the opportunity to present his request to the king. If he had neglected his lawful duties, the king would have been less favourably inclined to grant his request. Nehemiah's testimony would have been debased. But because he knew his priorities, because he was a man of prayer, and the employer could see that he was a good worker, the king asked him why he was sad. And the Christ is so often debased because Christian employees neglect their work and tell the employer that they're too busy about the Lord's work, and that can bring the Lord's name into disrepute. As we read in Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. So Nehemiah, that man of priorities, organising his work, it started with prayer. And then all the other practical arrangements followed on from praying. How often do we rush in to do something? We form a committee, we organise a meeting. What was Nehemiah's priority? It was prayer and fasting. What did we read in verse 4 of the first chapter? It came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So our priorities, do we pray? Do we put priority on prayer? Do we organise our time so that we get time to pray, get our priorities in order? As we read in the New Testament, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And again, Nehemiah, that man of prayer. We think of Nehemiah as the man who masterminded the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. But those walls were only rebuilt because Nehemiah was that man of prayer. The foundation of those walls were the prayers of Nehemiah. As we've read in Nehemiah, the first chapter, we've read that prayer from verses 4 to 11. And then if you go through the book of Nehemiah, you can see all the other times that he prays, the prayers that are recorded for us. And the last prayer of the book of Nehemiah is that short prayer. Remember me, O my God, for good. Notice that some of Nehemiah's prayers are long, but some prayers are very short. We've got that prayer in the first chapter from verses 4 to 11. But then when you go on into chapter 2 and verse 4, we read, then the king said unto me, well, what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. In the short space between answering the king's question, he made that prayer to God, praying that he would have wisdom, praying that he would have that courage to speak the truth, praying that the king's heart would be softened. It was only a very short, interjectory prayer. No time for long prayers, just that brief prayer, that cry unto the Lord. And so prayers can be long and prayers can be short. And remember, the Lord knows our hearts. We read in Isaiah. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And so prayer, it doesn't have to be long. It can be short. And again, Nehemiah 6 and verse 9, we have, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Both sort of prayers to be prayed by those about the Lord's work. But notice when he does pray, how he addresses the Lord. There's reverence there. There's godly fear there. He knows that he's becoming before the Almighty, the thrice holy God. The prayers are based upon scripture. In verse 8 we read, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there of you cast unto the uttermost parts of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them unto this place, and I have chosen to set my name there." Nehemiah, if I can use that word, was successful in prayer because he was praying according to the Lord's will. He was praying those words of Scripture. He was applying the words of Scripture to the situation that he was faced with, applying them to himself. And that's what it means to pray in the Lord's will. Nehemiah, he was earnest and persistent in his prayer. We know and we can see that Nehemiah was serious about praying. He saw the sorry, sad state of Jerusalem and the Jews that escaped captivity. It affected Nehemiah. And it came in verse 4 of chapter 1. "It came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." The weeping was genuine. No crocodile tears were shed over Judah. He mourned certain days, fasted and prayed. His concern was no flash in the pan. It wasn't sudden emotional outpouring and then forgotten. He sat down and mourned for certain days. How often are we moved? We may shed a tear and pray, but at the end of the day it's forgotten. But notice Nehemiah, he mourned and prayed. "I prayed before thee day and night." It's earnest prayer. It's prayer that occupies some time. We don't know how many hours Nehemiah spent, but we have this impression that it took some time. Nehemiah, as I said, a busy man, a responsible position, but he found time, made time to pray to the Lord of heaven. Nehemiah's prayer lasted possibly for some months, because if you read the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakilah, and it came to pass in the month Chislew, and then in chapter 2, it tells us that these events happened in the month Nisan. And Nisan was the first month, and Chislew was the eighth month. So there was 3 to 4 months between these events. And Nehemiah had been praying all those times. He was persevered in praying. And we know that the king noticed his countenance and took notice. We know that the Lord arranged that he would be able to go to Jerusalem and set in motion the rebuilding of the walls. And so this is the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We see that it does indeed avail much. Nehemiah was able to set about that task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He was successful in prayer because he was praying, because the Lord had called him for this work. He was praying according to the Lord's will, and he was fervent and earnest and persevered in prayer. Then I said that Nehemiah was that man of purity. Nehemiah knew that he was a sinner. Before a holy God, he was a sinner. We read in verse 6 of the first chapter, Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes upon, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. We need to realise that we are sinners. We need to confess our sins, to acknowledge that we're not always earnest. We don't always follow the Lord as close as we should. But Nehemiah was humble. Nehemiah wanted to be cleansed of all his sins and iniquity. So he confesses them before the Lord. And then later in the book of Nehemiah, you can read how the law was read to the people, how the keeping of the Feast of Tabernacles was then kept, and how they departed themselves from strangers and confessed their sins and iniquity, how they put away those foreign wives in their labours. They wanted to be pure according to the word of the Lord. There was no room for mixed multitudes when they came about the task of building the wall. Only those that knew the Lord were involved in building the walls. Only those that knew the Lord were truly engaged in the Lord's work. It was a task for the Lord's people. And so are we pure? Can we lift up holy hands to the Lord, to the Lord's work? In our prayers, have we confessed our sins? And then we can pray and lift up those holy hands. Nehemiah, he was a man of perception or providence. He was able to perceive what needed to be done at Jerusalem, although he was far off at the time. But he was also able to see God's providence. As we read in verse 8, the good hand of my God was upon me. And again in verse 18 of chapter 2, we read again the good hand of God's providence. He could see the Lord was working. He could see and acknowledge that the Lord was working out his purposes through the events in his life, to see that God's hand was in the granting of the king's blessing to go to Jerusalem, those letters so he could rebuild the walls. He could discern the Lord's providence. He was perceptive of what the Lord was doing. And through being able to see the Lord's providence, perceive the Lord's providence, he could encourage the others. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, he says, then said I unto them, ye see the distresses that we're in, how Jerusalem hath wait, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Nehemiah, because, as I said, he's that man of perception, that man that could see the providence of God, he could use his testimony, his experience, to his fellow workers to encourage them. And we read, they strengthened their hands for this good work. They said, let us rise up and build. And so he encouraged his fellow Christian workers by acknowledging that the hand of the Lord was upon him, that it was a good work, and that the Lord was at work. If the Lord is left out, then people won't be encouraged in the work. If we can see the Lord's work in our own souls and reflect upon it in our life, we can encourage others. We can encourage others in their labours for the word. I would recommend, if you've never read it, read Flavel's Mystery of Providence, and you can look back and then see the hand of the Lord at work in your life, and so you can encourage others in their walk, in their labours for thee. And then we read in Nehemiah 4, and it came to pass, when our enemies heard that was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, then we returned all of us to the war, every one to his work. It says the Lord that protected them Again, Nehemiah could see the providence of God in turning away those that sought to hinder the work of building the walls. And then Nehemiah, that man of perseverance. Nehemiah, he persevered in prayer. He persevered in rebuilding the walls. There was no rest until the work was done. Even when there was threats of persecution, when there were discouragements, nothing distracted him. He persevered in that work that the Lord had given him. And it is for us. The Lord says, "He that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." We're to persevere until the end in the Lord's work. The church at Thyatira in Revelation, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, will I give him power over the nations." So we're to persevere in the Lord's work. In the words of that hymn, "Go labour on, spend and be spent." And then Nehemiah, a man of practicalities. He kept his feet on the ground. He prayed, but then he also looked for practical ways of doing the Lord's work, going about the Lord's work. Prayer is also practical. Prayer is not doing nothing. In fact, it's vital. As I've already said, it's building those foundations or laying those foundations for the Lord's work. Something that we can all do. We can all pray. We might not be any good at building walls, but as believers, we can all pray to the Lord for the Lord's work. And Nehemiah, has a method in his work for the Lord. There's thought and planning that's gone into the work. He sees that opportunity to tell the king about his distresses and also that he needed something from the king. "Moreover, I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that may he give timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the walls of the city, for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Prayer had been laid. The Lord had answered prayer, and Nehemiah asked for the king to grant those letters to allow the keeper of the king's forest to give Nehemiah the timber. So Nehemiah, not just a man of prayer, a man that put his hand to the work as well. As we know, he put his hand to the plough. And when we get, when Nehemiah arrives at Jerusalem, as we've seen in chapter 2, he didn't just start building the walls. He did that detailed survey of the ruins. He had that very thorough survey and assessment of the work needs to be done. And then you can read later on throughout Nehemiah how he organised the work, the various precautions that were taken to prevent them being attacked. And so when we embark on any work for the Lord, we start with prayer. There should be some planning and thought of how we're going to set about this work. Again, as the Lord says, "For which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it." How many Christian projects have been embarked upon in the Lord's name, and then not being completed, or become a shambles because of lack of planning? That's not honouring to the Lord. And the world looks on and mocks. But if we're prayerful and practical and seek the Lord's guidance and the Lord's provision, the labour will be finished. But we also need to persevere in it, and it might be for several years. And so let us be practical in our work for the Lord. Assess what needs to be done, what gifts and talents each one of us can bring, what materials we have, and then embark on the Lord's work. And as I said, one of the characteristics of Nehemiah, he was that man of pats on the back. That pat on the back is an encouragement to us. And Nehemiah was able to encourage and help those that were involved with rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah was an encourager, or as we know in the New Testament, Barnabas was that son of a consolation, or that exhorter. And no doubt those Jews that had been dispersed, seeing Jerusalem ransacked and burned, were very dispirited people. Yet Nehemiah was able to mobilize them and inspire them, to encourage them, and to encourage them by being complimentary to them and helping them. And so the walls and gates of Jerusalem we rebuilt. Nehemiah said, then I said to you, see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, gates are burned, and let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, be no more reproach. Then I told them, the hand of my God, which is good upon me, as the king's word he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Nehemiah wasn't defeated by what he was. The people of the Jews were dispirited and cast down. But Nehemiah explained what was wrong, what was the reproach, that this was the Lord's work. And so he encouraged them to labour on and be spent for the Lord's work. And he was good at it. The hand of God was upon him, as he explains. And he explains again that all they're doing is for the Lord. He was an encouragement, explaining from the word of God what they were about. And notice, Nehemiah doesn't say, you build up the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah said, let us build up. We're all to work together. Being a Christian, doing the Lord's work, is a team effort. We're all involved in whatever way we have. We all have different gifts, different attributes, but we can share the burdens of the hard work and the hardships with each other, and so we'll be encouraged. And again, in Nehemiah chapter 4, you can read, so we laboured in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning stars upon. Likewise, at the same time, I said to the people, let every one of his servants lodge with Jerusalem, that in the night they may guard us and labour on the day. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed us, none of us put off our clothes, saying that every one put them off for washing. Nehemiah was involved in the work. They all shared the work amongst themselves. And so the work was done. They encouraged one another. And so we too should encourage one another in prayer, in those words of encouragement, in sharing the burdens, in explaining the good hand of the Lord upon us in past, and not backbiting, but showing appreciation for what the Lord has done. And as I said, Nehemiah was that man of privilege. Not told very much of Nehemiah's background, other than that he was the king's cupbearer. Obviously, a privileged position. He'd be before the king. He's able to speak to the king. He was living in comfortable surroundings. And the Lord does call from the high and low in society. Call men and women, called from various positions, and these positions that they find themselves in have so often been God's training ground. We have Moses in Pharaoh's court, David the shepherd boy, and then in Saul's court, Esther the queen. Men and women of privilege, but they're God's people in the right place and the right time, and they're able to be about the Lord's work. As we read in the New Testament, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. So often the Lord calls us in whatever work situation, and so often people want to drop everything and go and do the Lord's work. But so often in the place of work, we can be that witness, that testimony to those round about. We can be that missionary in that workplace. And Nehemiah, a man of privilege, but he didn't stop him serving the Lord. And there is no one too high not to be called from the Lord, but conversely, no one is in a position too low to be called by the Lord. Nehemiah, the man of privilege, was willing to turn his back upon all that privilege and go to Jerusalem and get his hands roughened up building the walls, helping with the timber for the doors. He had been the king's cupbearer, and no doubt his hands were very clean. But having followed the Lord, he was willing to lay all that aside that he could do his master's business. And so it's the greatest privilege any of us can have is to be about the Lord's work. And then just finally, he was a man that also knew persecution. And again, as you read through, you can see the trials that Nehemiah recounted. And one of the lessons are that if we're about the Lord's work, we will encounter opposition. Satan doesn't like it when the saints are active. The world won't like it when we stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. We will all face opposition and persecution. Throughout church history, we see how the church has been persecuted. So we shouldn't be surprised at the opposition, but we can persevere to the end. We can pray that the Lord will protect us, that the Lord will turn the wrath of man away, and that the Lord's work will be done and his name glorified. And so if there's just one thing to remember about Nehemiah, he was a man that persevered in prayer, and let us learn to at least persevere in prayer. And we too can say with Nehemiah, remember me, O my God, for good. Amen.
Amen.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.